Salah for everyone, welcome to the Samoan Scientist Podcast. This episode, we were talking about Samoan traditional foods, in particular to the post that I put up on social media last week, just because there was a lot of beautiful talanoa that I want to address on here. Hey everyone, my name is Amy. I'm a second year PhD candidate in New Zealand, and I'm researching the Samoan traditional diet. I think it was last week. I've been putting up a few posts just talking about my research and what I found so far. And what I've found recently is that when we talk about Samoan traditional foods, I in my research and defining it as the foods that were recorded, so written down during the 19th century. And what's really interesting is that the only written record about these Samoan traditional foods were carried out by missionaries, so non-Pacific, non-Samoan people. And so, as a researcher, I see that as, I guess, a bit of a critique in the literature because there is a gap that our people have not, our voices, our Samoan voices, are not heard in the literature, and we don't have. Basically, from their mouths, what Samoan traditional foods are. And so that's part of my research and what I'm going to be doing this year by talking to people about, by talking to Samoan women about what are Samoan traditional foods. But going back to the post that I put on social media, I'll just bring it up here. I really wanted to make a podcast about it because I love the response from all of you, and there was so much great, like there's a lot of discussion around it. And so for this episode, I'm going to go through each comment and just have a response and just like a talk about it. So this is the post on, this was on Instagram where I put, during the 19th century, banana, breadfruit, taro, yam, coconut, and fish were commonly eaten by Samoan people. Hashtag Samoan traditional foods. And in the background, I found a beautiful image of women, Samoan women. Some are topless, which was common. Like even when missionaries came, there were some images of topless women, but I believe even pre-colonization, it would be even more common to have been topless. Anyway, that's not the point, but I just wanted to emphasize the image that it relates to my research in terms of looking at women, but also our Samoan women and how, you know, those are our ancestors, and I just wanted to acknowledge them in the post. So I start with first comment by Michelle. So hey Michelle, thank you so much for coming into the clinic the other day, and we had some really great chats. Yeah, thank you so much for dedicating or contributing your metabolic and gene knowledge to my research. Thank you so much. So Michelle says, okay, wait. One more thing to add to my $5 comment. I wonder what they used to call portion control back then. This one time I was in the sauna and there were these two papas having a convo. I was eavesdropping. A lot of small space can't help it. About eating back in the day, three meals that were, you know, substantial in size to provide sustenance for the day's work. I'm talking about a tupuna, definitely. To be honest, I wonder if it was likely that they actually were in calorie deficit back then. Early recollections of Balangi settlers said that the indigenous had a good shape. Be great to revert back to the traditional diet with some aspects of things like portion control, etc. Yeah, great point, Michelle. Like from my reading, missionaries recorded that Samoan people only had two meals a day, generally one in the morning before they went out to plantation, and then one in the evening before it got dark, because there was no power in the 19th. Yeah, no power. So that would be 1830s when the missionaries came, and so they needed light to cook for their foods. So I definitely think that portion control is what our ancestors practiced back then, but that, you know, like they didn't have that word for it, but they just naturally did that. Next comment is from Fanakia Fanaika Fa'anau. Sorry, my Samoan is a work in progress. Thank you for sharing. We think so. And explored this topic on our Polys in the Bay Area podcast. Woo! With a Samoan dad and Tongan mum, we reminisced about their diet back in their days versus diet here in the Bay Area. They and relatives went from eating gongai, which is a lunch after church one times a week in their village, to eating gongai 3 times a day, 7 times a week in the USA. That's a lot. So our diets became radicalized, but my sister and I agreed that we should return to ancestral routine of root slash veggie slash walking is greater than red meat slash sedentary life. Thanks for the talanoa. Yeah, thank you so much. And that's kind of like quite cool how we're all like on the, I guess, on the same vibes of thinking about foods. And I haven't read a lot or know a lot of people from the US in terms of our Samoan family, but man, that's really big difference. You know, traditional, well, even now, families in Samoa would have gunga'i after church on Sundays. But what you're saying is that when they came to the US, they were having gunga'i 3 times a day, 7 times a week. And so what I'm thinking is like, does that mean just like in general, everything is bigger in the USA? Like, that's a lot of food, eh? And it's a very different way of life. And that's what I found when we think about our Samoan people who have migrated here to New Zealand. It is such a different way of life. And it's really hard to compare, you know, our ancestors back then and saying, oh, you know, let's go the traditional way. But in reality, you know, we cannot do what they did back in the 19th century. But I believe there's a balance between what we can use and learn from our ancestors. So yeah, that's so thank you for your comment. Vailoanga 33. We need to go back and re-educate our young people about our indigenous diet. It's key to solving health issues facing Samoan people right now. Yeah. Our traditional diet is key to improving our health outcomes. If I may le you ulemia I Samoa, it's why I le more. I think it's you're right. I agree with you. Like, that's one of the reason why I'm researching the Samoan traditional diet. So, people like myself who were born away from their homeland, Samoa, can learn about our food, and learn about our culture, and learn about our traditional knowledge. You know, I'm hoping with my research that if we have that knowledge that all of these foods are introduced, the banana, breadfruit, yam, and the banana, breadfruit, taro, and yam, with the exception of the coconut, were introduced to the Pacific Islands by our Polynesian ancestors. They traveled thousands of miles by sea on their va'a to with these foods. So these foods have a greater importance for us. And I feel like if we have that context behind our foods, and if our young people know about that, then that may be enough to for people to live healthier, longer lives. For the last section, if I may le you Olemia I Samoa, it's what I le more. My Samoan is bad, but it's something about food and chicken. I'm wrong. Can someone please translate that for me? But thank you, Vainath 33. Next comments by Avo and Evie. Yes and yes. Husband and I are both Samoans and we're happy pescatarians for almost 4 years. Because at the I had a comment along with this post that said, our Samoan ancestors had pescatarian diet. Should we go back to eating our traditional foods? And Arbor and Evie says, yes and yes. Husband and I are both Samoans and we're happy pescatarians for almost 4 years until we lapsed last year and let chicken, damn you, KFC. Then gradually bacon, pork, and lamb back into our lives. Yep, guilty of that. The heaviness that followed a feed of these meats were undeniable each time. We've been switching to pescatarian choices in the last month to get back to it full time again. Yeah, and I just want to acknowledge Alba and Evie, you know, that is normal. Those lapsations in our life are normal, particularly when we, you know, have gongai. As Pacific people have big events, it's hard on the weekends, and it's hard, and hard sometimes that we have a slip. But I really acknowledge that your awareness of when you have those meets, you say the heaviness that followed was undeniable each time. And so that's interesting because I think of it like as a holistic thing that, you know, listen to what your body is feeling. And so, Yeah, thank you for time, Mulyamuno. Mama Kule, Mama Cool, says my sister sent this to me because I am a seafood junkie. I'm not keen on beef, pork. I don't mind chicken, but fish is my first love, especially salmon. Oh yeah, that must be in your genes or your ancestors telling you eat the seafood. Oh, another good comment from Michelle. Some good commentary on this post, Nisus. Yeah, I agree. I've been reworking my diet these last 2 weeks to condition my tastes more towards seasonal food, which has been, I think, a bit trickier for me moving around the world a bit. But I'm now taking knowledge from places I've lived in, including China, arguably the origins of the voyage of our ancestors moving from west towards the Pacific. Rarotonga and now Aotearoa, which is such a task. I timed the reworked diet perfectly for one, solstice, two, whiru and Maramataka, which is phases according to the moon that Maori have established, which I just, I am inspired by Maori culture. And number three, nearing Matariki. And also, obviously, we're now in a modern day context. So I personally, I think we can adopt traditional eating into our diets now. But really, to an extent, eating more kumara has curbed my cravings for sugar, like chocolate, which is a fantastic observation. I cancelled my gym membership yesterday and now spend more time doing yoga and walking, which works well for traditional eating. It's a big topic. Hey, let's chat more later. And we chatted, and Michelle, like we chatted so much when you came into the clinic. And I really, that her comment, it takes a lot of awareness to be around, aware of your surroundings. And from what I took away from that is that Michelle is aware of her surroundings. So she's currently in New Zealand and she wants to eat foods that are in season and foods that are more related to traditional foods to Maori, and also being of aware of her environment. So, being not educated, but having more knowledge around Maramataka and Matariki as well. So, I feel like that's a really good example of how we can adopt some more traditional foods here, and an example of what they may look like for one person. And it's not going to work for everyone, right? Everyone's different. So thank you, Michelle, for your comment and your example. Linda Time 21 says absolutely. Absolutely. Seta Smith Smitha Fowl says dad has been saying this for years. And I replied, your dad is right. And I just said that because, like our parents and our grandparents and our great grandparents, for those who are still alive, they have that knowledge. And I myself want to know that knowledge. So that's why I'm wanting to talk to Samoan women to see what are our Samoan traditional foods. Ehu Girl says 100% this. Miss Sunshine goes, hello, hello. Absolutely go back to that. Look how skinny we were back then. Lean and clean food. Man, also, you do a lot of work in Samoan. Thank you so much. Of all the work that you do. But another point to that is for my research, I also look at images of Samoan people during the 19th century. And you're right, like there's a lot of people who are lean. I wouldn't say skinny, like we look stocky, but like muscly. Definitely not people that we see today where there is an excess of fat. And even in the written records as well, when some of the missionaries would sail to Pacific Islands, they actually had people from the islands paddle out to the boats to trade items with them. And they would make comments that they were not wearing many clothes, but they weren't. There was no comment about them being larger people. Next comment by Tess V. Yes, if only fish was cheaper here. I know, hey, like that's another thing as well. When we look at our foods imported here, it is realistically because we are in a recession now, it is cheaper to buy unhealthier foods. And so when we look at health in general, realistically, we are going to buy food that is cheaper for us so that we can pay the rent, pay the water bill, pay for our kids to do whatever they want, or pay for our family for the love, as you know. Rice is a really important component when we're talking about food here, and I acknowledge that, and I know acknowledge that it is not necessarily viable for everyone to go straight into the breadfruit, taro, yam, coconut, banana, because it's expensive. Next comment by Nick Afua. Awesome. What was the life expectancy back then? That would be interesting info too. Yeah, I've been wondering about that. I haven't looked into it, but I did find a document by one Balangi doc. I think it was a doctor. It was Turner, and he had a list of diseases that were recorded back then, but nothing like obesity or things like that. There are more like skin diseases, some like I think bronchitis, type of diseases. But it'd be really interesting to see the life expectancy back then. For some reason, I assumed they didn't live as long, but that was because of other diseases, not because of the food and the lifestyle that they had. But it'd be interesting to look deeper into that. Katie Bam, no pig, or was slash is pig reserved for certain ranks? Yes, thank you so much for bringing that up. So during my research, I found that foods such as bwa, so pig, moa, chicken, and if there were big fish caught like shark, bonita, those were only reserved for special occasions. And even when they brought the shark, bonita, or the bwa to the whale, different regions of the pigs were given to different Maatai, different chiefs. I don't have the picture here, but we can talk about it later if you want me to. But there is a diagram on one of the literature that I've read that, like the ribs is divided for a certain chief, the head as well. And so those types of foods, like the meats, were seen as culturally significant or higher ranked foods. And so when we look at today, it's like we love our barbecue. We love our meats. Like we just have meats all the time. But that's not what our ancestors were having back then. And so such an interesting topic to think about, hey. Next comment, Savineska 800%. Yeah, absolutely. We should go back to our Samoan traditional diet. Nice. Fuluola, I believe so. This is what I've been telling my family for years. Absolutely, like you're so right. And I believe that as well, like just having a balance between our Samoan traditional diet and how we are living today as modern Samoan ancestors, Samoan, present day Samoans. I also posted this on Twitter as well, and I asked, should we go back to our traditional diet? Tuilebek Lee says yes, 100%. Balochi 684 says, if you want to save the people, it is through diet and information. Key for a sovereign nation. Ooh, that rhymed. Must be like a rapper or something. But yeah, I agree. Saania says yes, we got us New Zealand. Love the outfits. Yeah, and like, I don't know if I talked about this, but I met, I forgot her name, but she was working at the museum at the time, and she was in charge of the Pacific cultural section, Pacific culture collection, Pacific collection. And so my mum and I actually got to go behind the scenes at the Auckland Museum and look at similar items that are in these images. And so, for instance, the oh, sorry, I forgot the name, but is it like the Twelve Falls headpiece? The headpiece was actually made out of human hair. There were like actual seashells. I think some one of them had teeth, something, teeth, bones, or something it was made out of. And so when we think about the headpieces nowadays, it's like, I'm not actually sure what they're made out of, but they're definitely not made out of human hair, definitely plastic and things like that. But when we see these beautiful ofo of these Samoan women, it's like that was created from the land. Like there was no $2 shop that they go to or fabric store like that. But even a tapa would have been made from the barks of a tree. So bad with, I forgot what this is called, but That would all been made from the tree. And so the office, their outfits are just beautiful. Laurie says 100. Xia Mapa, sorry. I wonder what year this photo was taken. Yeah, I'm not sure. It'll have a timestamp somewhere. I got that photo from Pinterest, so it'll be on there. Josh, just Josha, J Taro, Ta Taro Tarongi, J Tarongi. Sorry. Considering the percentage of non-communicable diseases rates in the Pacific, we definitely need to go. Definitely need to go back to our traditional diet. So Jay was talking about, particularly in research, it's so discouraging that we always get stats about how overweight modern Pacifica, how we're most at risk of type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular diseases. Like, yeah, we know that, but we need to have something to help our people, help our community. And so we, and myself and other PhD researchers and academics are trying to find a solution and, not be so wound up with the statistics, because we already know that, like, pretty much ram it down our throats. There's comments by Zakana 9. We all should. Yes. Stephen Yadiudo. Yes, of course. It's much healthier. YSM sounds yummy. Yeah. Like, I could do taro. C. Leo. Does it still exist? Yeah, good question. Like, banana, breadfruit, taro, coconut, and fish are common in Samoa now. What is really interesting is that yam is not as common. I mean, that's speaking from my perspective as a 29-year-old who only lived in Samoa for 2 years. But what I noticed is that there was no yam. And so I'm not sure if yam is still commonly eaten today. It may still be grown in some families, but not commonly eaten like galo is. Oh, I've gone past some. Aerosmith LA. I have, and it works. And that is amazing. Like, that is, good for you. Like, I've heard a few success stories like that. And I feel like, our people already know that what our foods are good for us, what foods are good for us. But unfortunately, in research, our voices are not heard. And unfortunately, when we think of higher up, the government, they are informed by the research. And so I'm just doing this work to help our people in the long, in the long run. Libra's Groove says, wait, no spam. No, sorry, no spam. Alana Wilkinson. Oh, yeah. No, they were still on the menu when I visited Puka Puka, not in Samoa. I wonder what you're referring to when you visited Puka Puka. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but Puka Puka is a island part of the Cook Islands, but it is situated very close to Samoa. So the dialect, the language is similar to Samoan, but it's not the same. And I think some of the cultural practices would be as well. So I wonder what was still on the menu at Puka Puka. That'd be, yeah, message me and or just comment on Twitter and I'll be keen to know. Next comment, Siggy Boy Wale Bele at Crumb Fingers. Maybe, but you'll need to pair that with the traditional levels of exercise and traditional levels of refined sugar. Absolutely. Like, thank you for bringing that point up. When we're looking at health, it is such a complex issue. And when we look at different ethnicities, it is a complex issue. But when we look at people, it is different. Everyone is different. So one thing is not going to be suited for one person. And I'm glad that you brought up levels of exercise, because it is one thing to change our diet, but it's also the amount of exercise that we do. And so when we think of Samoans during missionary times and even before that, they had to live on and off the land. They had to live in the moana, the water, because that was their source of food, their source of shelter, their source of transport, their pharmacy, their way of living, their life. That's what they did to survive. They needed to be out there to survive. Whereas nowadays it's very different. You know, I'm talking to you on Zoom in a podcast. You may be driving somewhere or you may be in the office. Like I'm living in a walled house, you know. And back then there were fales, you know, open fales, no walls around the houses. And I think it's really important to, when we're talking about food, we also need to be considering exercise. And so that is something that I'll mention in my PhD, but unfortunately, because it's such a big topic, I won't have enough time to go into detail about that. And also, thank you for talking about sugar. You know, type 2 diabetes was only recently, it was like a, I was reading about it somewhere. It was only in like the 1930s where mai suka, which is related, which means type 2 diabetes, was termed. And so when you think about, you know, our foods like galo, red fruit, banana, like those terms, I believe, have stayed the same since our ancestors. But when we have a disease, a sickness, an illness like mai suka, that a new word is created. And so it's really important when we're talking about sugar, being aware of it and how our ancestors had very little sugar. There were no, so interesting because I didn't hear much in, like I didn't read much about fruits. Fruits were hardly mentioned in the literature, which I found really interesting because when I think of Samoa now, there's so many beautiful fruits growing on the trees, like mango, lychee, like, you know, it's like quite interesting that no fruits were mentioned. Next comment is by Yolo McKinney at Grog Conqueror. Yep, and you'll see the drop in diabetic cases. Absolutely. At Cyrus, yes, I would guess that they lead a more active lifestyle as well. Absolutely. So that's building on top of Ed Crumfinger's point. Patrick T. Oliva Reed at PT Reed. Diabetes, obesity, and heart disease rates say yes. So I think he's saying that, yep, to the Samoan traditional diet. Cole says that's a strong yes. Boots Malone at Boots Malone 11. Yes, those children look a lot healthier than today's. Yeah. Georgia Samaya, get rid of Christianity and redo the Constitution too. She's about pulling down institutions and systems. Yeah, I agree. Ryan says absolutely. Our traditional diet is packed with nutrient-dense whole foods that promote optimal health and well-being. Let's get back to our roots and nourish our bodies the way nature intended. Take a look at my bio, please. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, absolutely to your point, and I'll look at your bio later on. And then Brandon Peters at Brandon054, blah, blah, blah. Who is we have the freedom to do whatever we want. You can go back to the diet. My kids will not give up cheese. That's a deal breaker. Yeah, I guess I should have defined, like, so we, I meant Samoan and or Pacific peoples. And yeah, I mean, like, you can, you do you, like, that's all good. Like, personally, like, I cannot do cheese. I cannot do dairy. And that's another important point. Like, when we think about our Samoan traditional diet, there was no dairy in there. And so what you find is that if you're finding, like, you're feeling really gassy in your milk, or, like, if you're feeling, like, uncomfortable if you have any dairy, that may be because, like, your ancestors didn't have it. And there's actually a gene related to that. And so, yeah, heart out, give your kids lots of cheese, go then. But it sounded like that you're quite triggered with what I said, which you shouldn't be, like, it's just a question that I'm putting out to people. But you're right, like, I should have defined who we is. But yeah, you do you. I think it was the end of the comments. I don't think there was any more that I have, but yeah, if I've time, Leonor, thank you so much for your telling all around the topic. And I was just really inspired that so many of you had shared your stories, shared examples of your experience with the Samoan foods, or even not your Samoan foods, but other foods and just a lot of people agreeing with the post, which is really super, which is super interesting. So thank you much for your Talanoa, and thank you for your comments. I look forward to talking more about Samoan traditional foods. If I have time, we'll have another. Bye.